A certain poet has written a poem with regards to worry and fikr, and he has given the meaning of our life in this poem, that how a person's life is full of concerns and worries, and every worry or concern for an individual is the biggest. Yani, in other words, for me, all my issues or worries or concerns will be the biggest and most important. And another person will have his own worries and issues and concerns. And when somebody tells me about his problems, I'll say, your problems are nothing, mine are worse. I've got more problems than you, severe issues. And the other person will say, no, my problems and issues are severe. So everybody thinks upon his own platform. But in reality, these are all deception. All the worries and concerns are deception, and they are a waste. They are all whispering of shaitan that takes us away from our objective. The genuine action is what? That when we recite, when we pray the janazah prayer, the funeral prayer, the janazah is in front of us, and that person at that time has no fikr of what's happening in this dunya. There's only one fikr: what's going to happen to me? One worry, concern, what's going to happen to me? And somebody says to him, oh, you know, you had these issues, those issues, these problems. Say, oh, begone with that. Oh, begone with that. Forget that. The biggest thoughts and concerns and worries for a person, for him, everything will become minus, zero. Do you understand what I'm saying? The deceased person will say, you mad people, what worries and issues of the world are you talking about? That was all a dream. Which trick or game or trap have you fallen into? That's no fikr. That's not a worry or concern. So in one way, this is the deception of shaitan. What's going to happen here? What's going to happen to this person? What are we going to do about this? From morning till night, we try to solve the issues that we think are worries and concerns. But the real genuine concern and worry for a person is what? We should pay attention to them. What is that fikr? Not maut. Death is going to come. Kullu nafsin dhaikatul maut. Everybody's going to pass away. Zayd and Bakr and John and Paul. Everybody has to pass away. Isn't it? Maut is there. Death is there. Nobody can stop death. But what's the difference here? The thought about the genuine concern for the person of Iman. Everybody knows that maut is going to come. Death. Which religion or belief or ideology says there's no death? Everybody knows death is there. That's a common issue, a common factor. But what's the difference between a person who really believes with conviction and that person who doesn't care? Not maut. Maut is a common factor across everybody in every sphere, everywhere you go. So what is the fikr that we should have? Eating, drinking, standing, sitting, illness, issues. Everybody has these things. But there's one fikr that we should have. Proper, genuine, deep. But we are negligent on this fikr and worry and concern. All our life passes in wasteful activities and actions. We don't do fikr on this one point. And what is that worry, concern? What is that concern? That death should come with iman. This is the fikr, the worry, the concern for a mu'min, for a believer. What is it? That I need to pass away with iman. That's the biggest concern, a biggest factor, and a severe factor. A severe factor. And nobody can trust this point or guarantee. Ghaus Qutb Abdal, Imam, Malik, Hanafi, Shafi, Maliki, Hanbali, whatever, Sahabi, Tabi, Tabi'een, Taba Tabi'een, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Uthman, Hazrat Ali, Hazrat Umar radiallahu, all of these companions, great companions, personalities, all the examples we give, we have no guarantee. But look at our hal, we have no fikr. So if this fikr revives in ourselves, then all other worries and issues and concerns will be suppressed and diminished. This is a big worry and concern. If we can't solve this concern and this issue, this worry with these breaths that are passing in our life, then remember that our faces explain that how far we have come from the world and how close we are to the grave. That tomorrow, yesterday those people who were with us, close to us there, for example, people got married, and then after marriage, one grey hair comes out, then the next grey hair comes out, then the white hairs come out, then all the hairs are white, and the body becomes weak, and then retirement papers are prepared. And on the other side, the visa for the grave is stamped and issued. And this is the history, and this is the life, this is the reality. With speed, this is occurring. With speed, this is occurring. With a lot of speed. So we need to wake up. We need to wake up. We have to become alert. There's time. There's time. Before that time comes that it's too late. And we need to have concern and worry that somehow I need to die with iman. When a person has this fikr and worry, then he gets up, he's alert. He doesn't sleep at night. What's depression? Depression is fikr, worry. That a person, he's passing away after so long and he feels, oh, I was taking the tablets, the tranquilizers for the dunya, the worries, the issues. All these pills and tablets, I had dreams and concerns. I want to eat this. I want to increase by 3 or 4. I couldn't sleep in the night and I was sweating and I had assets and wealth and etc. And all the tablets I was eating, where are they gone? At the time of death, a person asks himself, what's the true masala, the true worry? That death with iman, but I never took the tablet for that. To attain that, to get rid of that worry or concern, I never consumed the tablet for that, the tranquilizer for that, the pill for that. Many people, we have the four imams, the four mujtahideen, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, Imam Shafi rahmatullahi, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, and whichever imam mujtahid we follow, we get the title that this person is a Shafi or Hanafi or Maliki or Hanbali. There are four imams, isn't it? And one of the imams from these four is Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, great imam of fiqh, of jurisprudence, and many masail he solved. And Imam Hanbal, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, great imam, the Hanbali madhab, and many people in Saudi, they're Hanbali. And Hazrat Ghawth Pak, Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani, he was Hanbali, wasn't he? He followed the fiqh, the jurisprudence. So imagine his maqam, his status, and his rank. Yani, there's one event of his that I remember. And once he was performing wudu, sitting down, and during the wudu ablution, he was on a high position in a mountainside. There was a low place. You know, you have in the valley near the river, so there's a high position and there's a low position. And he was sitting down doing wudu, and from the height there was a person doing wudu high up, and he saw that imam is sitting, the wali of Allah, the sheikh, the pious person, he's sitting. And he thought, well, this is disrespect, that I'm doing wudu high up and he's doing wudu low down. With this adab and respect, he got up from his position and he came down and did wudu at a lower place. So for us, this is nothing. Well, what is this insignificant? This is not adab, this is not manners. We don't accept this. We don't understand this as adab, as manners. But to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is something significant. He had adab, he had manners for a pious person. So then he passed away, that man who had the adab, respect. When he passed away, he saw that person in Jannah. He said, "What? How did you reach into Jannah? What was your amal, your action?" He said, "I had no deeds, I had nothing special, but there was a wali of Allah, a sheikh, pious, and I respected him, and Allah Ta'ala said, due to your respect, I'm giving you Jannah, paradise." These are examples, nothing major in our eyes, but look at the result, the consequence. So to have respect and have significance and importance, respect for the wali Allah, then imagine the maqam, the status of the wali himself. Will he have any worry? We say, oh, what worry will he have? A ghost, what fikr should he have? An abdal, or a wali of Allah, what fikr or worry should he have? What worry should this person have? That he's forgiven, he's going to have no issues. But in reality, this fikr has made that person a ghaus. This worry has made that person a wali Allah. And this fikr, this concern, has given him those maqams and status, and a person who doesn't have fikr cannot become that person. Do you understand what I'm saying? That the more fikr, worry you have, concern, the higher will become your rank and status. And the highest fikr, the highest rank of worry, that was in the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions radiyallahu anhum. They possessed the most highest and strongest fikr and concern. We don't have that. Look at the good news that they attained, but they weren't worried about the good news. They weren't reliant on the good news. They had fikr. They didn't even trust themselves. He comes out of himself. He says, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Then he is pointing towards Allah Ta'ala. Today I remember my Hazrat Nur Allah Marqada rahmatullahi upon this point, that never did I see in his life did he say, oh Allah, have fadl on me. He always said that, how do dua, Allah Ta'ala have fadl on me, because I'm in a bad position, I'm in a severe position. And I thought, how can Hazrat say this? That he's not making it up, he's not showing off, but this not reality either. That he was mashallah wali of Allah and he was close to Allah, but he had severe fikr for his death with iman, that this took him to that point of doing dua and requesting Allah. We think, oh, the wali of Allah, he just sleeps with ease in the night, I'm forgiven, I'm a wali of Allah, I don't need to make any efforts or worry or concern. No, the walis of Allah have reached to such a height that they have such a high level of fikr and worry that, Allah, what's going to happen to me? How am I going to pass away? Will I have iman? Will I pass away with iman? And people, thousands of people run after them, follow them, crying, taking the guidance. But the wali of Allah, he is worried about himself. That am I going to die with iman? He has fikr and worry and concern severe. So this is what we need to develop. What will be our hal, brothers? That maut will come with a sudden jolt. Malikul maut, he will come, the same malikul maut to everybody. The same malikul maut. So if he comes tomorrow to me or to you, what will we do? What will we do? Just think for a moment, reflect and ponder. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahmatullah, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, radiyallahu anhu, rahmatullahi alayh. It was his final moments, and I heard this from my hazrat, from my sheikh. It was his final moments in his life before dying. And in his final moments, you can say the deathbed. And what was the hal, the condition, the situation of the wali of Allah, the imam. And he was saying, he was murmuring, not yet, not yet, not yet. And his son, his relatives were there. Obviously, there's a scene when a person's passing away. The people are close to him, they're there. And his son, he's there. And the big imam is passing away. The person who spent his life in Allah's service. And he was a student in the dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selects and makes apparent the people's rank and status. Such people, Hazrat Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, he was made apparent, clear, his rank in the dunya to the people of the world, and they are consistent and they are steadfast on their maqam and their practice. And mashallah, the work of the deen, and khalaqul Quran. Mashallah, he said, I'm not this. The king of his time, subhanallah, he gave the order that make this person, imprison him, take his clothes off and whip him, take him through the city. Because these people, the walis of Allah, the great sheikhs, had to go through difficulty in their life because they gave their life, they assigned their life and their time and energy for Allah. They are on the haqq, on the true path. Whenever you see a wali, a true person on the haqq, on the right path, you won't see him enjoying himself in the gardens or just living an easy life, a tailor story. No, you will always see them stuck in the issues, the problems. They'll have jail in their destiny. They'll have imprisonment in their destiny. They'll have difficulties and problems and tests and trials in their destiny, in their life. This is the reflection of a person on the haqq. I'll give you the example here. In Hindustan, a wali of Allah, very great wali of Allah who passed away, Hazrat Sabir Rahmatullah Ali. Just along the way as we're talking, and Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya, the great wali of Allah, Chishtiya Khandan, Chishti family of the sheikhs, and people used to know and agree on his rank and status in Pakistan, in Hindustan, Iran, etc. So one individual said, okay, let me see, I've heard about his praise and his rank, let's go and see him and do his ziyarah, meet him. So he used to ask that, do you know this wali? Do you know this individual? They said, yes, great wali of Allah, sheikh and karamat and miracles. So he's traveling and on a journey, getting closer to that sheikh city and asking people and people agreeing. And then he got close to the locality of the sheikh and he asked and he said, do you know this wali? He said, but I don't consider this person a wali, and I don't think he's a wali of Allah. So he was looking for the news and the feedback, because this is our base, isn't it? That whenever we hear about a wali, his karamat, his miracles, and everybody agrees and says he's good and he's great, he does supernatural things, etc. So he asked a certain individual that shall ask about this person, and he asked, do you know about this sheikh, this wali? Someone said to him negative. Somebody said, yes, he is there, but go there and look for him. Somebody gave negative feedback. He thought, shall I go back? This person saying he's not even a wali. Then he met another person. He said, no, there's this wali. Go there, meet him. So when he reached to his locality, to his village, just a little bit closer, when he asked there, they said, what are you talking about? He's a thief. He's an innovator. Don't go to him. He spoils people. He deviates people. He has gatherings. Oh, don't go and get trapped there. Don't go to this person for the sake of Allah. Don't waste your time. He doesn't have no Quran, no hadith. He doesn't follow Quran, hadith. People are giving fatwa against him. His practice is not right. He doesn't say right. Everyone's against him. And there are announcements against him in the masjid. And be careful. Don't go there. He said, found my destination. Alhamdulillah. He said, this is the sign of the wali of Allah. As you get closer and closer, you'll get people in opposition. So this is the recognition of the wali of Allah. So Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal had this rank and maqam. He was about to pass away. And he said, not yet, not yet, not yet. He was whispering, not yet, not yet. And his son was standing nearby to him. He said, Hazrat, my father, dear respected father, are you well? Is everything okay? That, what are you saying? And Hazrat Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal said, yes, Shaitan has come. He's here. He's present. And he is trying to take me off the tracks. He's whispering to me. He's saying, Mubarak, congratulations, you're passing away with Iman. I said, oh, wretched Iman, Shaitan. Oh, wretched Shaitan, you're trying to deviate me still? And I, not yet, not yet, not yet. Still, I am waiting for this fadl. When my last breath is drawn, then I can say that, yes, I passed away with Iman. Because there's danger. You are trying to trick me so that I don't have Iman at the time of death. And he was trying to guarantee him, Shaitan, now you've passed. So Hazrat Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, who is a great, great sheikh, and whose iman was given the title during his life, and this is his house. What about us, mashallah? You are pious people, walis of Allah. I'm speaking to myself. I shouldn't say this, but at least I should present my pain and concern. That's what I'm doing. I'm presenting my pain and concern that we should have fikr and worry. So what fikr? But not just empty worry. If we don't take the steps alongside that fikr in parallel, then it's not going to succeed. Look, Allah Ta'ala has given us the path and the ways to reach here to the success in our destination journey. That if we don't reduce the issues, the love and the concern for dunya, then we cannot elevate the fikr and concern for the time of death. When we diminish and suppress the worry and the love for the dunya, then we cannot get close to the fikr of maut with iman. So, for example, when you're going home, what will you do? You will do those actions that are important, then you'll do the other secondary actions. For example, there's a bill that comes through with a red writing, a red notice for your electricity bill. And the gas bill is the first issue. So the electricity bill is more severe. It's red. The writing's red. Final warning. So you'll pay the electricity bill first. So when in the day you fikr for the real thing, then you will carry out those actions first and then carry out the other secondary and tertiary actions that are not as priority, that are not priority or not urgent. So here Allah Ta'ala has given us the understanding in the Quran and the Hadith, the preparation for death with iman. So we can prioritize it and practice on it more. And we should do dhikr of Allah in such abundance that our iman should become revived and fresh day by day, hour by hour. So is this the fikr? That we're sitting here, just a few of us, and we don't know. We come here to do dhikr for thawab. It's such an important action. If I give you examples, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, great sahabi, great companion. Yani Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu is walking and Hazrat Abu Darda grabs his hand in the marketplace. He said, come, Umar, let's sit down and bring about iman. Revive our iman. He said, revive our iman? Do I not have iman? He said, sit down with me. And he sat him down, Hazrat Umar down, and they started doing dhikr. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu went straight to Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Said, Ya Rasulullah sallam, come with a complaint, Abu Darda. He sat me down in the marketplace and said, come on, let's do dhikr of Allah and revive our iman. Do I not have iman? And Rasulullah said, Abu Darda is saying, correct, totally correct. This is such an action. In every moment and second, it revives the iman. In every moment, as you're doing dhikr, what will you do? You'll revive your iman. And you do dhikr in abundance. That the more you do dhikr in abundance, the more your fikr will increase. Test it out. That this is something automatic, like you have a machine, automatic, you press the button, you have a washing machine with the programs, today's technology, I'll explain to you with the meaning. You put the clothes into the washing machine, you close the door, you set the program, then when the program runs, it will heat the water, then it will cool the water, then washing powder will be brought, fry the compartment to the machine, then it will go through the rinse cycle and spin cycle, etc. So there are buttons in the program, so our life passes in the same way. There are phases and cycles. So when we start the amal, the practice through which we'll attain the success at the time of death and thereafter, when you start those amal, then automatically your life will come into order and sequence, and people in the world are dispersed and following different priorities and different actions and running after different goals and ambitions. But there's very few people today with the genuine fikr of death with iman. As the time is going closer to Qiyamah, the fitna is increasing. You have kitabs, Quran, tafsir, and books full of hadith. I can tell you 10-15 hadith now with regards to this day and age. The fitan, the trials and the tests. First nowadays, before you had to look for the hadith, when will that time come? When will that come? But we are today in that generation where all the fitans and the severities close to the Day of Judgment are present and visible. But today there's no preparation for the death. If there is a little bit of preparation, he doesn't know why he's doing this action. What's the reason to do this action? So now, nowadays, this is the most important action, priority action, that we should grab it, which will protect our iman so we can die with iman. We have no guarantee when maut will come. There's no trust, no guarantee, no reliance on just darkness. So we have to understand this hadith is, Ya ayyuhaladheen, the verse of Quran says, Ya ayyuhaladheen, amnudhkurullah dhikran kathira, wadhkurullaha kathiran, la'allakum tuflihun. Can there be no bigger point than what the Quran is saying? What is tuflihun? Success. That your treasure chest will fill up and you'll get houses? No, you will depart from this world by saying iman, kalima on your tongue. So do dhikr in kathira, abundance. The objective when a person sits to do dhikr, remembers Allah, he goes to learn dhikr. He has a link with a person who does dhikr. There's no game. No game, no clamor. We're not looking for thawab road. Is this not enough reward that we depart from the world with iman? We're following the tricks. Oh, I want thawab, I want the rank and the status. Brothers, the biggest reward is to depart this world with iman. And the person who doesn't grab this path, the Quran says, then person who doesn't remember Allah, Allah Ta'ala says, a person who remembers me will have success, but the person who leaves my dhikr, complains, then Allah Ta'ala says, I'll make his situation tight and severe. Is this not the verse of the Quran? No? Tell me. And how a person, he puts the padlocks on his heart, follows the fitan, the sins, and he makes complaints, I'm not going to do dhikr, I ain't got time, it's not important. So the opposition to this is the person should do dhikr kathir and kathira, so that fikr overwhelms us. The Allah, how do I leave this world with iman? So the situations that are passing by in our life, they will continue. Life will continue. People who are coming, they're coming. People who are going. Food, clothes, nourishment, success in the world, these will continue. These won't stop. Today, if your last breath is drawn and pulled out, I tell you, one day maybe will pass, and the next day your shop will open again, even though you're not here anymore. I give you that guarantee. Your restaurant will open again. If you're not there, your brother will be standing there, your son will stand there. He said, oh, he's passed away, my dad, my brother, but we've got to carry on working. And people will be there. People will keep on coming. Will your shop close? No. Your shop will close, your shop of life will close, but the shop in the dunya will continue. The business will continue. That place where you used to sit, the desk, the chair, reclining chair, you sat and did the work in the office, suddenly another man will come to your chair and say, oh, he's gone. But after that, you think they won't work? The files will open, the message will be exchanged, but your file will have been transferred to another realm. Brothers, we have to think severely, deeply, do dhikr in abundance, do it regularly. These majalis, Allah Ta'ala gives us these broken down gatherings. Allah knows how long these gatherings will continue for, how long they will exist for. Allah knows best. But there's one objective we have. The walis of Allah have taught us to do dhikr of Allah. The objective behind this is what? To revive the iman. To strengthen iman, because the shaitan will try to attack and steal our iman. If we don't have dhikr in our surrounds, around us, then any time shaitan will attack our wujud, our bodies, our iman. Don't have conviction and guarantee on your deeds that this will give us success, because shaitan, who are avowed enemy, he, Allah Ta'ala says, not a scholar can beat shaitan. An imam cannot beat shaitan, or a person who teaches tajweed can't beat shaitan, a hafiz cannot beat shaitan, or an imam cannot beat shaitan, nor can a maulana beat shaitan. Nothing can. There's only one thing who can defeat shaitan, and that's the wali of Allah. Only one person, because he has dhikr of Allah as a tool with him, an assistance. He doesn't follow dalil or proofs. He does dhikr of Allah so much, he's immersed in Allah Ta'ala, and he doesn't seek dalil. Without dalil, he says, I don't need dalil. Allah is there. I believe in Allah. I have proper conviction. An imam, because shaitan, he can deceive you by becoming a scholar himself. He can come in the form of an hafid, but he cannot become a wali of Allah because he doesn't have dhikr in his action box. So, as I said, that this was what was lacking in shaitan, and that's why he became shaitan. So the walis of Allah, they take that path of dhikr. This is the route they take. Forget all the other actions. Ilm, I've got kitabs and hadith. These will carry on in parallel. But I'm not going to leave dhikr of Allah. I'm not going to leave this action of Allah Ta'ala's remembrance. That's why you see in our Aqabreen, our elders, pious predecessors, they had tasaneef, thousands. But alongside that, 80,000 per day ismizat, repetition of the dhikr of Allah. Hazrat Hakim ul Ummat rahmatullah alayhi. Imagine his murids. They used to do 80,000 times a day Allah Ta'ala's name and repeat it in dhikr. Then imagine his situation, Hazrat Maghzub rahmatullah alayhi. And he was a government officer, a collector, a tax collector, a big status in the world. And in that day and age, when it was the British government, the colony, a collector, a tax collector for a Muslim to be in that position as a job. But when Hazrat, he came into his company, he became a fakir. And he carried on being the tax collector. But on top of that, overwhelmed him was what? The fakiri. The closeness to Allah. So should we do dhikr or not? So understand the maqsad, the objective of dhikr. But we fuss on this and complain, then shaitan will attack us. He will steal our iman. May Allah not allow this to happen. May Allah forgive. And we have to wait. We should wait until the last breath is drawn. Until that time, never feel I'm guaranteed and I've got iman. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah taught us that don't trust your fight against shaitan. He has many, many tools to his disposal, methods to his disposal. But if you become a wali of Allah and say, Allah, Allah, on that person whose tongue who recites Allah, 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 then Rasulullah said that when you depart from the world, what should be on your tongue? Qulu la ilaha illallah. We should practice that. We should practice that 10 times, 20 times we do it. So this is not bid'ah. This is not innovation to repeat dhikr of Allah. Just like Hafidh, when he revives the new sabak, the new lesson, will he learn, read a verse and remember that verse and memorize it after reciting it once? No, 15, 20 times, repeats it to memorize it. So this kalima, la ilaha illallah, we should revise it, recite it so many times that there should be nothing lacking in the repetition of this kalima. But no, we are living in the days of fitna. Person sits down to try to do some work of the deen and teach dhikr. They say he's a bidati, innovator, astaghfirullah. They don't want to do anything themselves, nor do they want anyone else to do something. If I say, Hasbunullahu wa ni'mal wakeel, why am I doing this? For a cure, as a solution, because we are today in the days of fitna, generation fitna. So if we keep reciting, Hasbunullahu wa ni'mal wakeel, then inshallah, the effect of this kalama, there are effects and impact that when we recite Hasbunullahu wa ni'mal wakeel, Allah will put impact into this recitation. Allah says everything will go, but the impact of Hasbunullahu will come. We say, no, close these deeds, these majalis, this is bid'ah, kufr, he's pointing people, teaching them wrong things. Is this justice, my brothers? Is this justice? They try to close down the majalis of dhikr? Think about this. Now, if we recite 15, 20 times more than that, Allah's name, Allah, Allah, Allah. If you say Allah once, but if you keep on saying Allah, 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 then the light will come. Allah, 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 the light will come. The effect will come to life. If you do dhikr on your own, for example, practice on your own and try this, alhamdulillah, see the effect of saying Allah Ta'ala's name. Practice, I remember an event, mashallah, and I smiled that in the early days when we started to do dhikr and to try to explain dhikr to people, it's totally the early days. My hazrat, my sheikh gave me the hukam. Early days I used to take people and say, come listen to me, come to my home, sit with me, let's drink tea. My friends, my close colleagues, associates, I used to say, look, today I invite you, I'll teach you, I will give you tea and halwa. 3, 4, 5 of us used to be, maybe one or two Arab brothers, different brothers, and we used to sit down and do maraqabah and do dhikr of the heart. We didn't do khatam al-khwajqam because people didn't understand dhikr. We used to close our eyes and do maraqabah, silent dhikr, and dhikr of the heart, Allah, 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 silent dhikr. And we weren't saying it loudly. Dhikr, silent dhikr, you're silent, and there's no more powerful dhikr than the silent dhikr of the heart. Dhikr khafi. SubhanAllah, I speak to you about my event. So we used to do silent dhikr in my home. A few of us, my associate friends, was my room downstairs, and my wife, she used to sleep upstairs, and we used to be downstairs, do Allah's dhikr, Allah's dhikr. MashaAllah. So next day, my respected wife said to me that, what are you doing? You're doing dhikr. You said that you are doing silent dhikr. We ain't going to do dhikr loudly. But you did dhikr loudly, so loudly last night that I was worried the whole neighborhood, they're going to wake up and come and knock on our door. What are you doing? Why is there noise? You're going to let us sleep or you're going to make keep us awake? That the whole house, the room was shaking, trembling. And I said, it's going to be too hard for us to live here. I said, yes, inshallah, from tomorrow we won't do dhikr loudly. We won't do dhikr loudly. Zahiri dhikr. Now tell me, we were doing maraqaba dhikr, silent dhikr in the heart. We weren't doing dhikr loudly, but look at the reverberation, the vibration, that the effect of the dhikr reaches to the heavens. And this is the effect. Another person came to me. I'm giving you little hints here that these are such actions that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. One individual came from Zimbabwe. He came. And he wanted to learn dhikr. He came to me, he requested, and he was making a bit of fuss. Why are you doing dhikr like this? Why do you do it like this? Why do you do it in your heart? Why is it silent? Why should I do this? Now how can I explain to him? I said, Allah assist me, help him, that he understands dhikr, the how to do it. He said, no, why can't we do it loudly or this way, this many ways? I said, okay, look, just learn dhikr. I taught him, he went to sleep. At Fajr time I met him. He said, Hazrat, this is ajeeb dhikr. He said that I was tossing and turning, whichever way I looked or concentrated, I heard the name of Allah. He said, when I was towards the wall was trembling. Allah, Allah, is this an earthquake? I turned my side to the other side. I heard Allah's name again. Whichever way I turned, I heard and I felt the name of Allah. I said, do you understand now? He said, I will never leave this dhikr. Never. SubhanAllah. So these were early days, and Allah Ta'ala is developing encouragement for them. We are now old and you've done more dhikr than me. So why should we leave dhikr? Why? So dhikr of Allah, Allah Ta'ala's name, we say Allah, Allah, Allah. So in this, there's so much power and impact that all of the opposition and the doubts are dispersed. And everything we do, we see Allah Ta'ala's assistance with us. Allah Ta'ala is there. Allah Ta'ala's presence. That Allah Ta'ala says that somehow we do dua that Allah, can I depart from this dunya with iman intact. Intact. So should we do dhikr? Of course we should. We should grab hold of dhikr with conviction, steadfastness, and develop fikr. Then may Allah Ta'ala give the whole ummah this fikr. We have time, we should struggle and strive and give da'wah to people, call people, invite people. This is a big da'wah. Big da'wah that we call people to Allah, explain to people, dhikr of Allah, make your akhirah. If you want to develop your iman, remember this is essential, important, that do Allah Ta'ala's dhikr in abundance. So the dhikr you've been given, taught, don't be lazy, don't be negligent. Do this dhikr regularly with conviction and steadfastly, don't be lazy. If you're lazy on this, then you are bringing about a bad effect on your mouth. If you do dhikr, it'll be to your benefit. If you don't, then it's to your disadvantage. May Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq. Ameen.